If you can turn, please, with me in God's word to John. John chapter 19, verse 28, down to verse 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. For this Remembrance Sunday, we want with the Lord's help to speak on, as we indicated, the symbolism of the poppy, or the poppy, a symbol of remembrance. And again, we'll relate it to the gospel message as we do this morning. But as you know, the Sunday closest to the 11th of November is known as Remembrance Sunday. Services are held to remember those who gave their life in World War I, World War II, and now also including other conflicts since then. This year marks the 104th anniversary when World War I ended. It was the day of armistice, or what is called the peace agreement, that was signed between the Allies of World War I and Germany at France. It was on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 when the guns of Europe fell silent. After 4 years of the most bitter and devastating fighting, the Great War was finally over. The armistice, or the truce, was signed at 5 a.m. in a railway carriage in France on the 11th of November, 1918. 6 hours later, at the 11 a.m., the war had ended. The first act of remembrance was conducted in 1919, throughout Britain and the Commonwealth. Originally called Armistice Day, it commemorated the end of hostilities from that previous year in 1918. It came to symbolize the end of war and provided an opportunity to remember those who had died. After the end of the Second World War, in 1945, the name Armistice Day became known as Remembrance Day, in order to include all those who had fallen in the two wars and later conflicts. However, during the First World War, soldiers, sailors, and many more who died abroad were buried where they fell. Many had no marked grave. Without a body to bury, families could not conduct normal funeral services. This led to the building of local and national war memorials and standing for 2 minutes silence on Remembrance Day. And to show this act of remembrance, a poppy was worn as a sign or a symbol of remembrance for the one who had fallen in battle. During World War I, there was a stretch of land, a countryside, on the southern area of Belgium and northwest of France, known as Flanders or Flanders Field. This area became one of the most destroyed regions of the entire battlefield, along the Western Front during World War I. Yet despite the devastation across the fields of Flanders, there grew a red flower known as the poppy. One soldier by the name of a man called John McCrae, who was a Canadian medic serving in the Allied forces, he was responsible more than any other for the adoption of the poppy as a sign, a symbol of remembrance. During the war, he lost a very good friend, a colleague in the battle. As John was in the middle of burying his friend, who died on the fields in Flanders, He looked across the countryside, which had been blown up and had been disturbed, the soil, by the warfare, and he caught sight of a bunch of red flowers beginning to bloom, which turned out to be poppies that began to grow over the fields of Flanders Field. In May 1915, John McCrae went on to write the famous poem, Flanders Field. And his poem was first published on the 8th of December, 1915. This remembrance poem inspired then an American teacher named Monia. And while working at the YMCA overseas, War Secretary headquarters in New York City, in November 1918, Monia read John McCrae's poem in Flanders Fields. And she immediately vowed always to wear a red poppy as a sign of remembrance for those who had fallen. For her vision, Monia started to make and sell red silk poppies, such as those mentioned in the poem by John McCrae. They were then brought to England, and in 1921, the Royal British Legion adopted the poppy as its emblem, its symbol of remembrance. And therefore, on every Remembrance Day or Remembrance Services, red poppies are worn as a sign, a symbol to remember those who have fallen. Now, today the red poppy is rejected because it symbolizes war and symbolizes death. There are calls for the red poppy to be removed and to be replaced by a white poppy, because white symbolizes peace. And so you will find a lot of people refuse to wear the red poppy, and they wear a white poppy because they want to symbolize peace. They don't want to remember the war and the death and the conflict. They don't want to keep that in their mind. They want the white one instead. However, we must never forget that peace came by a price being paid. And for our remembrance service today, I want to draw some lessons from the red poppy and see how it continues to be that symbol of remembrance. But above all, in remembering those who have fallen, we must make mention and get in our service in every point to the ultimate and the supreme sacrifice of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, the poppy is a symbol of a war conflict. So you could say, if you want to symbolize or to put it, the poppy is a symbol of conflict. As we think of the poppy, I said we're brought back to think of war, brought back to think of lives lost. During those years of conflict, there was many battles. Soldiers faced horrible death, an awful death in those battlefields. Many lay dying, no one able to help them, and they died because of this conflict, this battle. And you may ask, why was it that men and women had to go to war? Why is it that there are conflicts and wars that rage across our world? It is because we live in a fallen and a sinful world. Men rise up with pride, which is sin, within the heart seeking power and position. We must learn this. Man will always be at war with his fellow man because by nature he is at war with God. We learn that from Scripture in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 onwards, that all humanity were formed in Adam, but also all humanity have fallen in Adam. Man was created for fellowship with his Maker, to be at peace with his Creator. But because of Adam's fall into sin, by nature and by practice, we are at war with God. Each and every one of us are born sinners. We are born at war with God, born in sin. And so mankind, having fallen in Adam, are not at peace with God, rather by nature, rather by our practice. We are opposed to God. We are transgressors of God's holy law, violators of his righteous commands. That's why Paul, or man, is at war with God. He's a rebel. He is an enemy. That's why James said in James chapter 4, verse 4, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity," or in conflict or at war, "with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." As sinners by nature and by practice, we have chosen willfully to defy and despise the law of God. Paul, in writing in Romans chapter 3, notice some verses, verse 10. It is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Verse 17. "The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And therefore that is our position by nature. We are at war with God. We are offenders of his law. We are sinners. And we may not do and commit all the terrible crime that others may do, but nonetheless, we are all born in sin with a heart full of deceit, a heart that is desperately wicked. And until man finds peace with God, he cannot hope to be at peace with his fellow man. It is our sin which causes conflict. Sin causes separation, and sin will keep sinners from heaven. Now, while we're thinking today of the conflict on foreign and also on home soil, yet we must never forget the greatest conflict of all, the conflict, the battle against sin on the battlefield, on a hill called Mount Calvary. Because there we have the war of all wars. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to Satan in the Garden of Eden, said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Notice the Lord announces that he will put enmity, war, between Satan and the woman, and between the two seeds. This declaration of war was for the purpose of Christ to come and destroy the works of the wicked one, as stated by 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, to render him powerless who had the power over death. And therefore the greatest conflict, the battle of all battles, the war of all wars, was fought at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man of war, he gave his life, that ultimate sacrifice. He gave over his life. He paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might have eternal life. You say, why is there still so much sin and so much strife in our world? It is because men and women still refuse Christ and still dwell in their natural position. And therefore, believer, through Christ, we are no longer at war with God. We are on the side of God. We are in his battle. We are his purchased people. We now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But unsaved one this day, do you realize that you're still at war with God? Do you understand this day, if you are not saved, you are an enemy to God? Now, you may not view yourself that way, But that's how God views you, an enemy, a transgressor, a violator, and one who is fit for eternal judgment. You are at war with God. You've offended him. You've sinned against him. You've broken his law as it was. You've gone to war against God. And I want you to see that sinner. But I'm glad this day that there is forgiveness with the Lord. You must humble yourself before him, because the terms of peace have been offered, and that is peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, to reject such terms is to still fight against the Lord. To reject God's terms of peace, of forgiveness, is still to wage war with God. And I will tell you this, you will not win. You will have lost already. And therefore you must come this day and surrender yourself and give yourself to Jesus Christ and have your sin forgiven. The poppy is a symbol of conflict. It brings us back to remember a war was fought. But notice secondly, the poppy is a symbol of cost. Because we read here again but early in the chapter it speaks of those who took the Lord to the place called Calvary. There they crucified him. That was the cost, the shedding of his own precious blood, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But during those years of battle, or battles during those world wars, much blood was shed. In Flanders Fields alone, hundreds upon hundreds of soldiers lost their lives. Their blood stained the soil on the battlefield. Those who entered into the war, they paid the cost for our freedom, for our liberty. A lot of soldiers, as you read the books, as you maybe watch the war films or whatever it may be, they all lament on the lives that were lost, the bodies that just were left there to rot. Or during those years of conflict, one soldier would write and say that he could see the rats eating on the bodies and coming out of them. Such was the cost that they gave their life. And we must learn that there's always a cost to war and to conflict. Their sacrifice is summed up in these words: they give their today for our tomorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, love is seen in its highest degree in what it does. In other words, love is seen not just by words, but by actions. And those who loved their country, they not only stated it, but they demonstrated it by going out to war, and they give their lives. And while I certainly do not make light of their sacrifice, but we must never neglect or forget, as many people do today, about the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of all sacrifice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his sacrifice was not for time. His sacrifice was for all eternity. Where he, the friend of sinners, laid down his life, a ransom for the many. He offered himself a sacrifice for sin on the tree of Mount Calvary. He entered into the battle. He entered into the conflict. He entered into the war with his enemy. On behalf of sinners, he came to save. You see, those who went into war, they did so to save and protect and spare those whom they loved from the enemy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the war to give his life to save and spare his people from the enemy, from the wicked one. As the shepherd of the sheep, Christ sacrificed himself as the sinner's substitute, bearing our guilt, He bore our shame and our sorrow, and he made them his very own. All our iniquities were laid upon him. In this war, his own precious blood was shed. That blood of infinite value, that blood of infinite virtue was shed upon the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. One went to war on our behalf, and his death, the cost that he paid, gave us life. And therefore, men and women today, you who are saved by the grace of God, you have eternal life because one went on your behalf, one entered into the conflict in your stead and fought the fight for you, shed his own precious blood for you. And therefore, in every act of remembrance, we ought to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as the great sacrifice. Ephesians 1, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Can I ask you this day, are your sins forgiven? Are you saved from your sin? Does your faith alone rest, depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ? Has the redeeming work of Christ been applied to your heart? Has there been that time in your life when you have admitted that you are a sinner before God? Have you acknowledged your sin against God and then asked God to forgive you of your sin in Jesus' name? I'm not asking, have you had an experience? I'm not asking, have you had a feeling? I'm not asking, are you depending upon what someone has said? I'm asking you right now, are your sins forgiven? Can you say to me, yes, preacher, I've done what you've just said. I did admit that I was a sinner before God. I was a rebel. I was a violator. I was an enemy to his throne. And I acknowledged that sin before him and against him. And then I asked him to save me on the faith and the name and on the work of his beloved son. If you can say that, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You can sing, redeemed, redeemed, forever I am. But if you're not, you must this day come to Christ. You can be saved just now where you're sitting. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will. Notice finally and briefly, not only is the poppy a symbol of conflict, the poppy is a symbol of cost, but finally, the poppy is a symbol of conquest. Because the poppy speaks of conquest. It speaks of victory. The battle raged, the battle was fought, and the battle was won. We have many civil and religious liberties today because of those victories that were gained. But on this conquest on Flanders Field, there was the poppy that did blossom. The poppy that did give a message of life and hope to the world, reminding us of new life. It has been noted throughout the history that after the war on Flanders Fields, poppies began to grow. The most detailed incident of these poppies began at the end of World War I, where when the bombs came on Flanders Field and landed on that field and blew up and disturbed the soil, poppies began to grow everywhere. You can imagine that scene. No poppy at all. No red flowers at all. And then the bombs coming, disturbing the soil. And then soon after, through time, those poppies beginning to blossom. The place of death and great disruption became a place of life and hope. The seeds that had been dormant for over 80 to 100 years were then disturbed and exposed to the light, and they began to blossom. And that's what took place on Flanders Field. And that's why that great poem was made. That's why the poppy came, because those seeds that had been planted had just lain there for years and years and nothing had come of it. And then whenever the soil was disturbed through those bombs, the poppies began to grow. And therefore we think of the conquest, the victory of the cross of Calvary. John chapter 19, verse 30. The Lord Jesus said, "It is finished. It is perfected. It is completed. He won the victory. He rose from the dead. He lives in the power of an endless life." And so his victory on the cross, in defeating the devil, sin and death, gives hope to lost sinners. Christ accomplished redemption for all his people. He secured everlasting peace by the shedding of his blood. He bruised the serpent's head. And because of Christ's conquest, sinners have hope of eternal life. And therefore this should encourage us as Christians to keep preaching the gospel message and wait on the Lord to do his work. Because the death of Christ guarantees a great harvest. The death of Christ has guaranteed a multitude of souls to be redeemed and to be gathered in. And just as those poppy seeds had been sown in the field, and they were not seen and nothing happened, they lay dormant for all those years, yet once disturbed, once broken up by the blasts, the seed began to grow and those poppies began to blossom. And so, child of God, as you preach the gospel, as you share the gospel to friends, to family, the seed has been sown. And you may not see anything for days, for weeks, yea, even for years. But God will work in his time. And he will expose that seed to the light. And he will give the increase and give those signs that will blossom for Christ. Keep sowing the gospel seed, because Christ will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His death has guaranteed that in all things he will have the preeminence. So I say to you in closing, child of God, keep spreading the gospel message. Keep telling sinners there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved one, life has been offered unto you. Hallelujah. He will save you if you but come to him just now. If you but come and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. The poppy was a symbol of conflict, a symbol of cost, a symbol of conquest. And so we think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his life, his death, all he has done for us, we remember the conflict, what he did for us, the cost, what he gave for us, and the conflict, what he has won and secured for us this day. May God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.